Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for more of your listener questions, including questions about paying tolls, getting to and from Walt Disney World if you're renting a car, where to watch Sunday night football during these crazy times, and much more. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. They're experts. They're awesome. And you really just help support the show anytime you book your trip with the Magic for Less. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And if you want a little extra content in your week, including the mini podcast called Mike in the Midwest, become a patron of the show. Just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1756 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope this week is going well for you. September is treating you well. Remember, wake me up when September ends. No, I'll stay awake for this one. Because I'm telling
Sorry,
you,
wrong song.
In 2020, here's my quick story at the top of the show. In 2020, anytime I dozed off to take a nap, like in the middle of the afternoon for like an hour, I would pull out my phone after I woke up from a nap and the world had changed seven different ways. Every time, like in that hour, I'm like, I can't take naps. You can't fall asleep in 2020. Bad stuff happens. So anyway, don't wake me up when September ends. I'll be here hanging with all you guys. So joining me today from touringplans.com and most importantly, themouseforless.com, where you're going to find out about all the breaking news, especially about the Polynesian, we have Ricky. What's up, Ricky?
Yes, everybody's losing their minds about the Polynesian. A couple of things. I know some people are a little freaked out because they're saying, oh my gosh, it's going to be Moana rooms. It's okay. It's not going to be like, you know, All-Star Movies version of Moana rooms. It will be tastefully done, people. Like, imagine, like, you know how they did the rooms at, say, like, Riverside, and how they had the princess rooms and how they're very tastefully done. I assume it will be more like that than, you know, All-Stars.
I was thinking about this earlier today. Here's what I'm thinking. Picture a Little Mermaid room with, like, Ariel on the shower curtain, but instead you have Maui in your bathroom. You're welcome.
I am sure it's going to be a little more subtle. Just throwing that out there. So a little more subtle than a giant Maui.
Yeah. People are losing their minds, and I was kind of curious about it as well. But the thing we've learned, and Pam taught us this, we'll talk to Pam in just a sec,
Yes. Is
that you got to trust Disney. They pretty much are good at these things. They messed with Pirates. It came out okay. They messed with Mansion. We talked about that for a long time. Came out okay. I like the Royal Rooms at Riverside. I like what they do with their resorts. I think we're going to be okay. I think we got bigger things to worry about in 2020.
I think so. It's going to be okay. I know everybody is like, you know, the Polynesian was one of the first hotels, so everybody has like this connection to it and everything like that. But honestly, I think it's going to be okay. It's just going to be subtle. It's going to be very tasteful. It's not going to be Maui on a shower curtain. So
that would still be awesome. Anyway, also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel reporting live from Disney Saratoga Springs Resort. What's up, Pam? Mm-hmm.
Hi. I'm happy that I get to do it from here. We're kind of doing some work. It's a workcation sort
nice.
Of. But yes, I know. So, I think you always have to trust Disney in this way. There's hardly been a themed room that they've done that I haven't really liked. I mean, look at the whole Art of Animation Resort. Now, definitely that's a value resort, but those rooms are themed.
They
I mean, they're extremely themed. So I love that. And look at the resorts that they've opened recently, like Riviera, and
yes.
The resorts that they've redone recently, like Coronado and Saratoga, which I'm at. They've done an extraordinary job, I think, really sort of updating those rooms to something that guests are looking for. They have all the amenities I think that guests are looking for in the style and the decor, but they've also kept so many Disney touches in those rooms. So it's sort of classy Disney, right? I mean, it really is. So I am looking forward to seeing what Disney can do. And who knows? It could change 100 times between now and when it opens. But the thing I'm most happy about is that Disney has decided to continue to invest in their hotels.
Yes.
And I love that. They could very easily say, you know what? We're not going to do anything. We're cutting everything down. And I don't think they get enough credit when they take an opportunity like that where they're already going to have some downtime and they decide to reinvest in their company. So that's what makes Disney so great. So I'm really looking forward to it.
I was talking to a guest today just about that exact thing you just mentioned, Pam. And what I'm excited about is, you know, obviously this is probably a time where they saw an opportunity in a difficulty, you know, because maybe the demand isn't there. They don't need every hotel room on property right now, probably for the rest of 2020, maybe moving into early 2021. We don't know. But instead of just shuttering it and letting it sit and collect dust, it's an opportunity that, and again, like you said, they are spending money on this and coming out of this, these, we don't know. I mean, these Moana rooms could be all the hotness. I know people are like, oh, you know, it's only been like, you know, 12 hours at the time of recording since this announcement. But I mean, you know, people see them. I mean, that's a property that isn't represented at Walt Disney World right now, but it's very popular and it fits the theme very well, I think.
Well, and plus, you know, we've all joked about this in a lovingly kind of way, but we know that those rooms at the Polynesian remind us of the Brady Bunch vacation in Hawaii. Yes.
Where's my necklace?
Yeah. So I guess that's the one thing I'm disappointed about. Why isn't there some kind of Brady Bunch Disney crossover?
Well, if you look at our show right now, we're like a third of the Brady Bunch with the squares. You know, they were just like, they were like way ahead of COVID, like how we all communicate with the boxes. Pam,
maybe that'll be the next thing Disney buys is the Brady Bunch. I mean, you know, they buy all kinds of things. Maybe that's the next franchise that they're going with.
I like that.
So, I mean, we can only hope, right?
I know.
I just thought about this, though. Was the Brady Bunch on Zoom in their intro? I mean, seriously, it was like a Zoom call.
Maybe. That's true.
It's a time warp. All right, let's get to the questions. First question comes from Anthony, who is in our chat right now, ironically enough, but this one's from the inbox from a few days ago. He's from Omnidirectional Carolina, which I love.
That's awesome. He says,
don't know if you can make a whole show out of this topic, but we're trying to decide between a 6-night stay at Coronado with 5 days or a 7-night stay at Pop Century with 6 park days. As the total cost on each trip, all the other activities included, it'll be roughly the same. We've never stayed at a moderate before, but we've also never had more than 5 park days before, so both options have their own appeal. I know the BOGP crew will have many and varied thoughts on the subject. Thanks, Anthony. So would you rather go 1 extra night at Pop Century with 1 extra day in the theme parks, or 1 less day for Coronado and 1 less day in the theme parks? And here's the kicker for me. Even the minimum park days at Coronado is 5 park days. You get 6 at Pop, and you get an extra night at Pop. I'm going to let you guys go first. Pam, what do you say? What would you do? I think we're going to be on the same wavelength on this one, but go.
I'm going to do Coronado.
Yeah, that's what I'm too. Yeah.
I am. And I think especially right now, your 5 park days are going to be plenty. I really do think that. I think that they will be for a while. But even so, I think that the experience you're going to get at Coronado, there will be lots of opportunity to enjoy those extra amenities. And especially since park hours are a little shorter right now, those kind of things become more important. You are spending a little more time at your resort. And that's a good thing. Coronado has a number of different dining options. They're not all open right now, but once it reopens, we'll see what's there. And Disney has slowly been adding other dining options, you know, to their repertoire of restaurants that are open. So I really like that. And I think you'll enjoy that part of it. I think you'll enjoy not only having the main pool, but also having the quiet pools. I think that you'll enjoy having the recreational opportunities. And Coronado is someplace that in the evening, I could be perfectly happy just walking around that lake. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And the rooms are a step up from Pop Century. They're a step up. They have all the modern conveniences. They've added all of that stuff, like the USB plugs and whatnot. And the decor is just awesome. So I think you're really going to enjoy it. And I think it'll be worth it.
Same. You know, Pop Century is, it does, you know, I stay there a lot. Obviously, I love the Skyliner. It's got, it's the refurbished rooms do a really nice job. But I mean, if you really want to feel like you're getting away and you're, Coronado to me, I mean, I'll be honest, you know, I'm a simple guy. It feels like a deluxe resort, especially now with the tower. And you got, you know, Barcelona down there in the sunken in area. It's just beautiful. Like you walk in, you go down to, I feel like, you know, like that scene in Rain Man where like they go down the escalator into the casino. Like I just need a suit and like a, you know, Scott dressed just like me. And it's like I'm coming into, you know, I'm like a high roller or something. It's so sharp. It's got great dining, awesome pool. I would shave the one day in the parks, one night at the hotel to have that Coronado experience for 5 days. That's pretty impressive. Ricky, what about you? I know you tour a little different.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, you guys are kind of winning me over.
Was it the Rain Man thing? Like going down the staircase in the suit?
It was not the
like
Rain Man thing with you going down with Scott. the escalator thing. No, that's not. No. It was, you definitely, though, did bring up some very valid points. I, however, am the type who I would like to have as many days as possible. And as in the park, as many days as possible. So I would go for the Pop for 6. Just like I said, if I can have that extra day in the parks and I'm going to take it. So, that's where I go. I would go Pop in 6. Yep.
All right. Shout out to Ashley, who's tuning in live from the Magic Kingdom as we record live. Okay. Walk on everything she says, and opposite end of the spectrum, Tracy's tuned in over in Wales. So
nice
late night for Tracy. We appreciate you being here. All right, let's get to this question. I think it's kind of interesting. Len's asking and supposing, do you think they will ever create a walkway from the Polynesian to the Contemporary to complete the circuit? I know there are lots of obstacles between the two, but we can always hope. Think there's a chance of that, Pam? I mean, 5 years ago, we were just jonesing for that path that's soon to open from the Grand Floridian to the Magic Kingdom. I mean, it could be done, but is it a priority? I don't think so.
I think, too, there's a lot of waterway issues that you're going to run into. The Grand Floridian one was really fairly straightforward, where the one from the Polynesian to the Contemporary is not quite as straightforward. And you have a lot of boat transportation impacted by that area. You have, you know, sort of the Wilderness Lodge boat that goes to the Contemporary is in that spot. You have all kinds of different things going on over there. So I think that would probably prevent it. I don't know, though. It's Disney, never say never. I love the walkability. It's actually one of the things I enjoy most about both Disneyland and the Universal Orlando parks is that everything is so walkable. And I just find that to be so much more convenient to sort of even just be in control of your own destiny. So I love that. I would love to see it happen. I just don't know if it's possible.
You know what they should do? They should use these like little octagonal bricks and like they should sell them and you could put your name on it to remember a particular vacation and then you could go back and visit it year after year. That'd be so cool. You know what? Disney, I'm telling you, Disney listens. They rolled their own Halloween party after we talked about it on the show.
Like that's right.
They did.
You're welcome.
Yes. You're very welcome, everyone. And they did something else we did too. They listen. I'm telling you, they've got to listen.
Makes you feel good when that happens. Even though we had nothing to do with it. All right. It's a good question for Ricky because you drive around down there a lot. He says, how much money do you plan for when you rent a car?
Oh,
toll money.
That's a good question.
It's all over the place, too.
Are
you apt to get lost a lot then, I would say?
So you can technically go non-toll roads if you can GPS it and find out the non-toll roads to get around if you really wanted to. There are ways. It just takes forever.
There's a toll calculator. Yeah, there is. And there's actually you can look up Florida Turnpike one too, but I think in the past, that's what I've done. Look up for that. I'm thinking, though, it's definitely under $5 from the airport to Walt Disney World. If you're renting a car, you can just include that and it will be included, you know, as part of your rental fee. But if you're not, then really, I think like $5. I think the one thing you do want to do is bring some quarters because there are some.
Oh, dude, I hate that because I'm from a place where there are no toll roads. Like in Missouri, there's no toll road within like 300 miles of it. Chicago is the closest. And so I never have money on me. You get off at those exits and like, so dude, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to get arrested because I don't have any bucks on me. I just, you know what I've done in the past is so bad. I've given the old fakie. Like I put my hand out and I go, because I figure if the camera looks like they'll see my arm go. And then it's like 50-50. Was there something in his
hand? Yeah, no. That doesn't work. No. So nowadays, because they are onto you, Mike Wellman, they actually take pictures of your plates and they will mail you a copy of, if it's your car, I mean, obviously, they'll mail you a copy of your, you know, going through the toll. I know they'll probably, I assume they would probably do that with a rental car as well. And then if the rental car company gets back, hey, you went through the toll, they will probably charge your card again.
There's a little fine for that if you don't have Easy Pass, but most of the rental cars do already have it. So they actually do just charge you for the tolls you get home.
But you do have to... So you can, when you rent a car, because I've done this before, you can choose to not have the capability turned on for them to charge you or, you know, charge your car.
Why would you not do that? It's easy.
I think there's an extra fee. Honestly, yeah. I think that's why. But other than that, I mean, I always just bring, I mean, it's usually like $1.50, I think, for each time you go through the toll.
I had a trailer one time, man. It was expensive.
That's more money, dude, Mike. The trailer is definitely more money.
Oh, yeah. Parking and everything.
But, I mean, I think usually it's $1.25, $1.50 to go through the toll from the airport to Walt Disney World, and then you've got to do it back. So that's another $1.25, $1.50. But I always like to make sure I have extra just in case like I get lost and go the wrong direction or, you know, whatever, or end up going somewhere else. You know, I would rather have the extra cash. So I just have, you know, I usually have maybe about $10 in cash on me. And then
is it true though that you get one free one like a year? I think you do. I've heard that.
I will say though, right now,
I'm not saying I'm not paying your bill.
Yeah, don't do that. I will say right now, because of COVID though, they are only doing toll by plate. So you can't pay by cash right now. So that's something else to keep in mind.
And Maggie, who worked down there, she says the airport, let's see, what'd she say? The airport signs take you to the 417 to Disney World, which costs more. Always take the 528. So there
that's
you go.
Smart, actually. Yeah. I like that tip. Thanks, Maggie. I appreciate that one.
So, in my favorite part of my Jeep still, I have a SunPass sticker behind the rear view mirror because it makes me feel like a Floridian because I got it a couple times when I used to drive.
I have SunPass in my car.
And isn't that cool? Like, I see it all the time. I don't take it anymore.
The great thing is that here in Georgia, the SunPass works. So when I want to use the toll lane here in Georgia, I just use my SunPass that I have. So it's kind of that nice little Florida touch.
So here's the deal. Not an expert at toll roads, but this next email from Kevin Anderson. I'm an expert. Where can I watch football? Here we go.
Oh, you are definitely an expert.
Football's back. It was a game last Saturday night. I was like, oh, thank you. We're going to make it. In MIZ, because we're still in camp. Good morning. This is Kevin from New Orleans. We're planning a no kids, mom and dad only weekend trip in late September. What are some of the best experiences for us that are still open? We're looking to stay at Pop and hoping to visit Downtown Disney, Animal Kingdom, and Hollywood Studios. We're looking for some ideas for good dining and activities. One, is the piano bar open?
Oh. No.
It is not.
Not right now, but new things open all the time.
Yeah. I've heard singing is lethal. That's just a couple months ago. I don't know. That's a fun place, though. So it's not open yet, but check daily. And two, is there a good place to watch Sunday night football? I'm sure he wants to watch his Saints. Or maybe Sunday night football will be the Saints. I was thinking LSU. I really enjoy the podcast. Thanks for all your Disney tips and the Run Disney inspiration, Kevin. Well, thank you, Kevin. Appreciate that. So now, here's the thing. Did Tambu Lounge not just open like 2 weeks ago?
It did.
It is open because when I was there, it was definitely open for guests.
That's a place a lot of people like to watch football.
Yes, it is. I mean,
where else? You know.
I would heavily suggest City Works down at Disney Springs now.
Oh, wait. They have the poorhouse. That's where I live.
Yes, the poorhouse. City Works
poorhouse. Yes. Yes. And we just did the brunch there, by the way.
Oh, how was it?
It was good. It was really good. So
good. That's awesome.
I know. But yes, no, they have lots of televisions available. There's probably like 5 or 6 different shows showing at any one time. So it's like a little frenetic for me, but I know that a lot of people don't have an issue with that. So I don't really watch the television when I'm somewhere. My husband then is drawn to it. He's like, television.
Saints fans, though, I'm telling you, like Saints fans and LSU fans, it's football fans from the state of Louisiana. Like they gather. Like they, you see like people getting on a bus and it's like purple and gold. And it's like, oh, here comes the LSU. I'm ready for Coach O to get on this bus. I'm in this game. Go Tigers. And it's like, you know, they got to watch your football together. So yeah, you want to be in an environment. I think he's more looking for like environment. So I think the poorhouse, City Works, I call it the poorhouse. Same thing. I think it'd be a good environment. Tambu Lounge, probably not as much of an environment, but you could probably get a better seat for the TV. There's not as many people there. Obviously, I don't think ESPN's open, right, on the boardwalk.
Not yet, but I wonder
during football
when
season.
It will
I mean,
be.
I can't imagine they keep it closed because you're right. The opportunity is going to be there for football.
It will be.
In the postseason
for
sure.
Baseball.
Yeah. Yeah, I would check that. Ricky, any other suggestions for watching the big game? Well, not the big game. It's in September, but the
game. No. Now, Pam took mine with City Works. I mean, that's just the best place right now to go watch the game. I mean, seriously, it really is.
All right, so the next question is about the Disney dining plan and an opportunity right now without a Disney dining plan to have a different or possibly better experience. And it's from listener Lauren, who in her salutation says, Roll Tide. So right there, football, we're back. I'm going to nail it down to I'm going to skip some of the email, but I want to get to this. So she had a question and it's basically, she said, ahem for Pam. Okay. Oh. And since there's no Disney dining plan, they're getting out of their normal routines with dining. They use the dining plan. They go to the same places. They enjoy them. But she's boiling it down to which lounge. Give us some lounges that have
yes,
the, now we're great. Not talking about environment. We're not talking about drinks. We're talking about the best food. She says, we're certainly getting drinks, but I'm more concerned with also enjoying food since I'm not too picky with my drink selection. So where do you recommend for people who are Walt Disney World veterans, but have never wavered from the Disney Dining Plan participant locations? Here's to being positive about new experiences and options at a time where it's easy to be so negative. Roll Tide. Roll Tide.
I love, first of all, that you're going into it with a positive outlook because right there, you've accomplished 75% of the battle. I mean, I haven't heard anyone come down and not have a fantastic experience just because it is different, but it's not lesser. It's different. And in some ways, it's really more awesome than before. More magical. I've heard everyone who comes home, it's more magical. So anyways, that's a fun thing. But so, yeah, there are so many great lounge options and most all of them have good food. The issue is that sometimes the menu is shrunk down a little bit. But if it's a lounge that's attached or close to another table service location, they oftentimes will allow you to order from there too. So keep that in mind. Some of my favorites include Ale and Compass. They have some really yummy flatbread options and they have a good burger and we really just enjoy that. They have good food. They have a buffalo cauliflower that is fantastic. So that's a good spot to go to. Right now, Cruz Cup is not open. I keep hoping that will open because that's absolutely one of our favorite locations. So I'll throw it in there just so we can see him. You know, since we mentioned it, Disney will open it in the next day or two. Right. Yeah, it'll happen. So that's a good location as well. California Grill actually does not have their lounge right now because they're using that space for other seating. So keep that in mind because that's one that we sometimes go to as well. Tambu Lounge did open up. They do have good options. Look at that one.
I don't think was Territory Lounge open at Wilderness? I don't think it was.
It's not right now, but again, it could open at any time. We just, you know, we don't know when these locations are going to open. So, you know, consider that. Another place that is open right now is Martha's Vineyard at the Beach Club, and they do have some food options. So check that one out. The great thing is the app is incredibly up to date, really and truly. So when you're on there, one of the things you'll want to do is look by location, go to dining, and then search by all or search by certain resorts, like if there's something that you want to go to. And you'll be able to see even the lounge menus are on there. And that wasn't always the case with the Disney app. They've been doing a better job with it lately, but they're keeping those really up to date now because they want you to have that option available for you.
I would say, too, to consider, especially at least... Oh, go ahead, Ricky. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and because they're using the app to have the menus in general overall. So, you know, when you go and dine at a restaurant at Walt Disney World right now, they aren't giving you menus. They're giving you a little sheet of paper with a QR code and having you scan the QR code and pulling up the menu that way. So they're having to make sure that the menu is as up to date as possible because of that fact, which is good. You know, I mean, that they're finally taking that initiative. And, you know, again, it's one of those changes that has been happening because of COVID. That is one of those things that I'm like, oh, why weren't they doing this all before? You know, why weren't we using, you know, QR codes for menus before? We didn't ever use QR codes before, but this is such a genius use for them. So, yeah, that's a good thing.
If you're a real big planner, too, why not? That's the thing about this. You mentioned QR codes. Take a picture of that QR code instead of scanning it. And then, you know, at home, you could scan it occasionally. And as the menu's updated, you'd have it right there.
That's true.
Like, as soon as they update it, you just scan it from home. Anyway, another thing I was just going to throw in, I know it's not technically a lounge, but it has good drinks and it has some really good food options. Geyser Point, especially outside on a nice night.
100%.
So give that a shot.
I think I could eat there 5 out of 7 nights. I mean, just for atmosphere alone, you know, just to be able to roll up and be like, yeah, bring me something. I don't care, whatever. Because I like anything that's on the menu. So just go ahead bring me whatever.
So bring it on. When I was there a couple weeks ago, I had Elizabeth ordered as an appetizer. They're like little peas in a pod. What are they? What are they called?
Edamame.
Edamame. So I didn't know. She's like, try it. It looks good. You know, because it's like little peas in a pile with like salt or something on the outside. I ate the whole dang thing. I didn't know you were supposed to pop them out and eat them like sunflower seeds. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I was going to try one. You're supposed to crack that thing open. I was like, okay, I didn't. So yeah, I'm not real smooth. Anyway, that's Mike. So we have a question here, too.
You didn't admit that on the podcast, Mike, by the way. That's like, you could have just kept that one quiet.
Dude, I ate that thing.
You're
a piece
out
of bark.
There with it.
I could eat a tree. Arr. Anyway, Matthew's got a question. If you had 9 days, how'd you break up a Disney and Universal vacation? And what's your favorite hotel at Universal? Now, this is going to be different from like current days because you have very limited options over at Universal as to, I don't know when he's traveling. So, Pam, I know you love Ricky, too. You guys love Universal. So how would you break up 9 days Disney, like put some days on Disney, days on Universal, and pick a hotel?
I would do 3, 3, and 3. So I would do 3 days at a Disney resort and go ahead and choose, you know, whichever one you want, and whatever the Disney resorts, if you're going to consider staying at 2 different classes, for lack of a better word, of Disney resort, I would do your least expensive one up front and do your more expensive one on the back. Mm-hmm. I would do then Universal. If you can do one of the premier hotels, absolutely choose one of those because you will have Express Pass included.
Yay!
And I know it's such a huge benefit. It is. And the premier hotels are, of course, Hard Rock, Portofino, which is closed right now, and Royal Pacific, which is still available. So Hard Rock and Royal Pacific are going to be your choices in that category. And Royal Pacific is the least expensive of those two, but still they both have great amenities. They both have a great pool area. They both have great rooms. So I think either one if you want to consider one of the, you know, a resort at Universal that's not quite as expensive, then of course I'm going to recommend Cabana Bay because it's so, themed. It's so fun. Mike likes to get zestfully clean there.
And 405.
Right? I know, right? So, and it's just a fun, fun resort. They have not only family suites and standard rooms, but they also have two bedroom rooms and rooms that overlook Volcano Bay. So in my 3 days at Universal, I'm absolutely going to get a park-to-park ticket because it's important for me as a Harry Potter lover to be able to experience the train that goes back and forth. I know, right? That's a big part of the experience, and you're really going to enjoy that. You might also want to consider Volcano Bay, which would be a three-park ticket because that is their water park. And to call it a water park does not do it justice. It does not. It's actually the wet theme park, as they often refer to it. It really is. It has so many great things to do. And again, I think I could go there and just float in that wave pool and be happy. But lots of other cool things to do there too. And the great thing about Universal is, like we talked about earlier, it's all walkable. It's all so close that you don't have to spend a lot of time in transition. You could spend part of your day going into a park, then part of your day at Volcano Bay, then part of the day going back in. So consider that. Then you're going to wrap up your trip at Disney. And I'd like to suggest this for Disney lovers because it feels like you're going back home, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm going to warn you, you're going to like Universal. So prepare to go back. But you're going to want to end up in Disney because that feels like home for you. Your comfortable sweater, right? We remarked once that Universal is like something new. Like you put it on and you're like, ooh, this looks good. And then you're going to go back home.
It's like that meme where the guy's looking over at the new thing, the new girl. Like that's Universal and Disney's the
Steady. Yeah. Exactly. That's what it is. So you put on your new outfit and then you're going to go home and change into comfy pants and you'll be back at Disney where you can wrap up your vacation.
Disney is loving this. Disney is now comfy pants and Universal is the hot girlfriend. Nice.
Those are two very good analogies.
I know. I'll make sure to send that into our Universal and our Disney sales.
They'll definitely want to go with that one. Yeah.
I will say, speaking of Volcano Bay, though, I was talking with a guest the other day. We're, you know, helping her plan her trip, and she's going over there, and I was telling her, you know, you got to go to Volcano Bay. She's like, oh, we're going to Volcano Bay. You know, like, I've seen the stuff. We're going. We got to do it. And she's asking, well, you know, this is a special trip. Like, we want to do it really, you know, really want to do it right. I'm like, okay, let me just tell you, if you really, really want to have the day at Cabana Bay, I was like, they have cabanas. I'm like, get a cabana. I mean, you are like, just, she's like, she said, she's like, oh, Mike, we already have a cabana reserved. I was like, do you have a microphone at your house? She's like, why? I'm like, just go drop it. And I'm like, just go pick it up and just drop it.
Right?
I
know. You can make your reservation for your ride experience, the Tapu Tapu, from your cabana at Volcano Bay. So it's awesome.
Nice. All right, Ricky, really real quick, though, I think I love the three pie approach to the 9 days. That's a
pretty cool. I know. Well, that's, I mean, that's the answer.
That is
the
answer.
Sandwich definitive. Approach. This is the perfect.
That's, I mean, you, Pam, I know you have a mic, but don't drop it because we still got to do a podcast and a half still. Okay, or at least one, this one and then one more. Ricky, what about you, the favorite hotel, if you had to pick one?
Okay, so, I mean, obviously they have different categories of hotel. So I'm going to agree with Pam. Cabana Bay is definitely the, you know, the value version that I think, like, absolutely you have to consider. If you are looking to go the more deluxe route and you want to make sure you have Express Pass, I mean, for me, it's Royal Pacific. I mean, Royal is so fantastic. It's such a great resort. It kind of feels, you know, Polynesian light.
Hey, it'll fill in during this downtime. You just go to Royal Pacific. It'll work out.
So I absolutely really want to suggest Royal Pacific as your option right now over Hard Rock. But I mean, again, I don't think there's a wrong choice in those. But I mean, if you're wanting Express Pass, you have to consider. I mean, Express is such a great perk of staying at those deluxe hotels at, you know,
it is.
So,
but at Hard Rock, you get a guitar in your room and I couldn't play it, but that'd be sweet.
And they have water or music underwater at their pool too.
That hotel is sweet looking. That hotel, I don't know. Like, sweet. I didn't think I'd like the theme of it because I'm not into like the music scene too much, but like, it was just, It was like fancy. It was cool. Fun. It was just super cool, especially the pool.
It's fancy. Royal is kind of chill. You know, I think that's kind of the.
Yeah. I know, and you can put your toes in the sand there. That's the thing I like about that too.
I just got to get out of this house. Please. All right. This one says it's from Michaela. She's from Kirksville, Missouri, just an hour away from Marceline, up where Northwest Missouri State is. I think it's actually called Truman State now. She says, "Dear Mike, Ricky, and Pam, love your show and go Cards." Yes, my husband and I are traveling to the world in a matter of weeks. It's the first time we've gone on vacation, just the two of us. Just the two of us in 10 years. She set me up. She says she's so excited. We have two park days, Hollywood Studios and Epcot. Visiting Disney World used to be so much about strategy, but with no fast passes and fewer people, is there any certain place you recommend to start touring at Hollywood Studios to get the best out of our time? We're staying at Pop and looking forward to the gondolas. Thank you for all you do, Michaela. Well, first of all, I'll pray that Cloudflare doesn't go down the day you're there so you can make your boarding groups. That happened this past Sunday. People lost their mind. It was a mess because a bajillion websites were down. But apparently we know that Disney uses Cloudflare for my Disney experience, and it usually is fine. Anyway, so two partners. The studios, about strategy. Ricky, what's your strategy right now currently to get everything done at the studios? I'm talking Rise, Minnie and Mickey, Sunset Boulevard, everything.
If you get there like really early, you know, make a beeline to Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. If you don't, like if you, you know, I'm assuming you're probably going to be because you're probably going to want to get that, you know, a Rise of the Resistance boarding pass. If you don't, maybe consider, you also want to consider doing Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster first, and then waiting a little bit until later in the afternoon to then do Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. I think that's probably the strategy that I would employ moving forward because, you know, Mickey and Minnie, that's the first thing that people head towards. I mean, not only is it the brand new attraction in general, but it's the first thing that people see. So, you know, it's definitely that weenie that Walt wanted, you know, and it draws people to it. So people are heading there in droves. So you might want to consider putting that off and doing that a little bit later, unless like you just can get in within like a 30 to 40 minute time frame, and then, you know, I'd ride it then. But that's kind of my strategy. And then after that, I mean, everything else is kind of great, easy gravy to ride, I feel like. I mean, you know, it's pretty easy to get on Star Tours. I think Millennium Falcon is probably relatively easy to get on as well. I think, and the shows, there aren't obviously a lot of shows going on right now because, you know, they don't have performances going on, in Hollywood Studios right now. So, I think that's probably a good strategy.
Well, and you gotta go to the, if you're doing the shows, you just gotta look at their schedules and squeeze those in as, cause they're, you know, you can't just walk up and, hey, we'll see the show. You gotta work right there. But here's what I say. If they can get there at park opening or pre-park opening, get there, like you're in the front of the crowd. Yeah. If you're in the front, Mickey and Minnie's, your Rise boarding group as you're, you know, getting ready to get on that. Then as soon as you're done with Mickey and Minnie's, Slinky Dog.
Oh, Slinky. I forgot.
Slinky Dog second. I will go down to Sunset, do Tower and Rock and Roller Coaster, then go from there with things like Star Tours, Midway Mania, boarding group. It depends on when you're going to do Rise, but that'll get you the best. Pam, anything else you'd suggest for that?
I think one of the other things you're going to want to do, as we talked about, is have the app open and look at the wait times. Use it to look at those wait times, because every now and then an attraction will out of the blue get a bump and have a little bit of a longer line. And if you wait literally like 15, 20 minutes, that line goes down and then you're back to that. So when something seems like it's a little, you know, a little high, wait for it to go back down. And I think too, you're finding that a lot of people are getting there first thing in the morning. And again, you know, like we've talked about, that afternoon sort of opens up, the afternoon and early evening, and they're not open late, but they are open to some degree in the evening. So keep that in mind too. That may be a different strategy altogether. I know though, our Uber planners are going to be like, I'm getting there when it first opens.
I've been saying it for 12 years. No, it's different time.
I know, but I think maybe you can wait a little bit, especially in parks like Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios, where there aren't quite as many attractions to see. But guess what you're going to be able to do? Ride Slinky Dog twice. Yes. So it'll be worth it.
Hang on.
The only issue, of course, that you run into is if you want the Rise Fast Pass or the Rise Boarding Pass, I guess I should say. If you do
want the two options,
yes, you have to be there at 10 to get the first, have the first crack at it, you know. So, and you have to be in the park at 10 to have that first crack.
And make sure you take your heart medicine because it's a it's a harrowing experience every time.
My brother just did it.
It's crazy.
I did it on Friday and he missed the first window. You know, he was there, but it went, you know, in 10 seconds, he said. And so he didn't get in on the first go around. So then when the 2 o'clock go around came around, he actually luckily did get one. But, you know, he was like, this is not good for my anxiety.
No, it's not. It's total like stress. And, you know, just send a prayer up to Steve Jobs, you know, at about 9:59 and see what happens.
Right, exactly. That'll work.
I don't know how it works. All right, last question of the day. Exactly. It's from our good friend Maggie. She says, my dad says he's never had a good meal at Disney World. Then. I don't know. Then he admitted he enjoyed BOMA.
Right.
He won't do signature dining because he likes a good value. I think I would get along with her dad because he likes a good value. I'm kind of the same way. Where do I take him to eat on our trip next year? Anywhere on property's fine.
Okay.
So we're looking for something. Can't be signature. It's got to be BOMA, though, is kind of exotic, but it does. It's expensive, but not BOMA's not signature, is it? No. Chico is, but BOMA's not. So someplace, it can be a little expensive, but it has to be non-signature, but good. Pam, real quick off the top of your head, what are you saying?
So I was just thinking as soon as I read that, I was thinking, she says her dad's a total grump. Maggie, we all have a dad who feels like that.
Paige and Mallory say the same
thing. Right. So what do you think about Whispering Canyon? I think the thing is that it has those skillets, and I think that has the options now, or at least it was, there were different options. We're going to have to see what happens when they reopen. But I'm thinking, you know, there might be something there that appeals to him because he wants the good value. I will also say, though, there's some table service locations that are not signature and are typically good values. And that includes Ale & Compass and Kona. The entrees at those level of table service are much less than the ones at the signature restaurants. So consider those. And they both have some great options. We ate at Ale & Compass the other night. They have this half chicken, lemon chicken. It is so good. Steve and I split that. But I mean, it's just, there's some good food there, and Kona is always putting out some good food there. So you might want to consider those too.
I second Kona. I was going to go with that.
I got the lobster mac and cheese at Kona like last weekend, and it was an appetizer, and it was amazing. I could have eaten just that by myself. Like, that was fine, you know? So they definitely have some good options at Kona right now. I am going to suggest a couple of things. So if you're looking for like value per deliciousness, and that's a measurement, right? Then I'm going to suggest something like Trail's End, because they have amazingly good fried chicken. And of course it's more down home. So, you know, it just kind of depends on if you want that down home kind of meal. If you want something that is a little more exotic, but also kind of reasonable, you have Sanaa, which he liked BOMA. So that's kind of why I thought of Sanaa as a good option. The bread service is to die for. So, that's always good. And then I also, the thing that popped in my head was Topolino's Terrace. I feel like, you know, that's definitely a little more upscale, but it's not a signature dining experience. You know, the breakfast that I had was incredible. Although right now I heard, obviously, the steak is not on the breakfast menu anymore. I haven't had dinner there, but again, I've heard fantastic things about dinner. So I'm dying to try dinner at Topolino's. So that's an option for you as well. It definitely takes it to that next level up. As far as dining, but it's not a signature dining experience.
And now you're hungry.
There you
go. Everybody's hungry no matter when you're listening to the show. 2 a.m, 2 p.m, we're all starving. All right, thanks for the great questions. Remember, you can send those to the inbox. We sure appreciate that. Just send those to mike@brguestpodcast.com. Put listener question in the heading, and we'll get that here on the show. Don't forget, today's show is brought to you by our great friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. When you're ready to head to a Disney destination, and we've been talking about Adventures by Disney. We talked about that last Friday. Some folks are looking into those. We're looking at some guests checked out Boston. I had somebody heading down to Machu Picchu. How cool is that?
That's awesome.
You know, it's all over the place. You can see the world with Adventures by Disney. Of course, we book Walt Disney World, get down there and have a meal at Olivia's, Kona, Sanaa, all these places we talked about. Disneyland, hey, it's looking like it's moving in the right direction on the West Coast. We'll see here soon. And, you know, I think Cruise Line's moving in the right direction as well. But the good thing is, plan now and get ready for that vacation, whether here in the rest of 2020, as we can do that, or 2020. 2021 is going to be a banner year. 21 was my baseball number. It was also like the year that my grandparents were both born. So it was always my lucky number. So I'm just pushing 21 is going to be a great year. We're going to come out of this. So make your plans now to make that year awesome. You know, be proactive. Don't let 2021 push you around. Right now, book that vacation. Say, you know what, 2021, I'm having a great year. You aren't going to get me. Well, I shouldn't say that. It got us.
Yeah.
Forget that. That's a bad ad read. I'm just saying, prepare for an awesome 2021. Book your trip now.
Let's make it great.
That's right. It's a freebie at this point. No, just drop by the Magic for Less. All the trip planning tools are there. You know how it works. You've heard this for 12 years. Great free service, and you're going to have a partner in your planning. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And if you want some extra content in your week, become a patron, patreon.com/brguestpodcast. One of the things we do on Patreon, we now have a private server for the patrons. We have a good time over there. It's like a 24/7 live chat. So if you want to get in on that, just come over to the Patreon, join that. We appreciate that so much. We also have Discord servers for the podcast in general. So if you want to do that, just go to brguestpodcast.com, right-hand side, or if you're on the mobile app, scroll down, click on the link. It'll take you right there. That's totally free for everybody. We chat there all the time as well. And if you're a lizard, there's one for the lizards, because you know what? Runners got to have a server too. That's really good. We got to meet up at the races when they happen. Please let it happen. Anyway, also give us a follow on social media, Instagram and Twitter at BR Guest Podcast and BR Guest Pod and at BR Guest Mike. And of course, Facebook and YouTube, just search for the BR Guest Podcast. All right, time to get out of here. Until we get back together on Friday, we're talking about kind of an interesting topic. What is essential to do on a Walt Disney World vacation from the time your eyes open in your hotel room until you hit your first attraction? So there's certain ways that you can get the day started the right way and the wrong way if you miss certain benchmarks throughout the morning. We're going to set you up for a great day on your next Walt Disney World vacation. So until then, for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.